You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is Christopher Anton. We're going to listen to some work of his, some of his solo projects, some of his work with the Information Society. We're also going to get a live acoustic performance out of him and do some interviewing. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton. How are you?
Good. How
are
you, John?
Thanks for coming in on this sweltering Wednesday Los Angeles.
This is nice.
In our little, our closed off insulated box here in Mid-Wilshire. First, let's start with just the track that we were just listening to. This is Where I Am. Mm-hmm. This is a new track. You just recently finished it, right?
Just finished it. I did it all myself, produced it and recorded it.
And so are you presenting this as Christopher Anton, or is this part of one of the groups that you're involved in, or
no,
is this your solo
this
project?
This is just strictly solo, yeah, solo work. I've wanted for a long time to get into writing and recording solo work because I've worked with, you know, a few different bands, and it's just, it feels right. It feels like it's time for me to start, you know, really pushing forward with things that I want to do with, you know, no limitations and being able to do things the way I want to do them. So
now you actually, I mean, you're currently working with a few different projects, and you've been working with many different projects. Sort of give us a rundown on all the projects that you're associated with, and then we can focus on the solo stuff.
Well, I started a band called Pseudocypher in 1997, 98, and we did a couple of albums, I guess you would say. And that's kind of defunct now. It just kind of, after years of pushing forward with that, it just kind of ran its course, and so now it's over. And then obviously, I started talking to Paul Robb, got the offer to work with Information Society, and did that, and we worked on, you know, we recorded the EP that's out now, Oscillator, and finished up Synthesizer earlier this year, and that's due to come out. It's, you know, it was slated for 2007 sometime. So now I'm just kind of doing my own thing, waiting for things to happen in other areas, and while I'm waiting, I'm just pushing forward with solo stuff. So.
Is the plan to release a solo album?
Well, I've been working with a producer in Mexico named Isaac Junkie, and together we're planning on putting out an EP. So it's going to be sort of like a Junkie Anton collage type of thing. So that's probably what's going to happen next.
I'm curious, working with Information Society, being the voice behind that band now, does that cause any kind of friction in your mind with pursuing your solo projects in terms of being known as, like, even when I was posting a bulletin about this show, it's kind of hard to not say Christopher Anton of Information Society is going to be on the show.
No, that's fine. I mean, I know that Information Society was great for me. It did, you know, it gave me an opportunity to do something and get some exposure that I would never probably been able to do otherwise. And, you know, I always loved Information Society, and it was really great working with them. But I don't think there's really any conflict, because I'm just kind of doing what I would naturally be doing anyway, otherwise. So,
Why don't we jump into a live song?
Okay.
You brought your guitar today,
yeah.
And this is probably a little bit different than you're used to performing
right.
As a synth pop artist. What are you going to play for us first?
I got a couple songs. This was a Pseudocypher song called Purgatory. And I haven't done the coffee house circuit in a while, but I'm going to give it a shot.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton.
Purgatory in my bag. I will abandon everything. Give me something more. Give me something more. The clock has everything I need. Siphon poison from my head, your butterflies are perfect. But can you help me raise the dead? Constant evasion of my dread. Will abandon everything. Give me something more. I want nothing more. The air and everything I breathe. I laugh with people. I despise my opiate and wanting. Simple concepts, simple lies. Stagnant ones are spared. Misery. The stagnant ones are spared. A misery of going somewhere.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton. This is interesting to hear you in this way. It's funny you mentioning the coffee house circuit, you know, and right. Guy and a guitar and that whole scene. Why have you put any thought into why you don't usually do that? Because you could probably be successful doing that, just being a singer-songwriter, rock guy. But there's in your history of music, there's always been this electronic synth tech element to it.
Right. I've always kind of had this organic thing. I've always loved to play acoustic guitar and sing, but it's never really done it for me in a live setting. It's never really done it for me as far as recording goes. I started getting into electronic music pretty young. I was about 16, and I went out and I started getting really into Depeche Mode, and I went out and I bought this drum machine, and I started programming music, and I fell in love with electronic music. But I've always sort of had this kind of like campfire style acoustic thing in me, but it's not something other than a setting like this. It's not really something I want to pursue. I've done the whole coffee house thing when I was kind of down and out and I didn't have any money. I didn't have any equipment. I actually went out and tried that for a little while, and it was a good learning experience, but it was uncomfortable, and it's just not really something I want to pursue.
When you set out to write a song, though, does it usually start with just you and your guitar, or do you start immediately thinking in terms of electronics?
It depends. Sometimes I'll be inspired. I'll pick up the guitar and I'll try to translate that to the electronics in some way. But like, for example, This Is Where I Am was strictly an electronic track. I just started out with a bass line and a beat and kind of took it from there. But it depends. That song that I just played, Purgatory, that ended up being, that turned into an electronic track and then kind of went back again when it finally released an album with that song on it. It kind of went back around to being a rock song again. So it just really depends. However, I can be inspired several different ways. You know.
What are some of the themes that you tend to come back to when you're writing lyrically?
Typically, that song was inspired by, I read a quote by T.S. Eliot that said, for most people, life is a constant evasion of the self. And that just kind of, I took that, just that little concept and kind of expanded on it about how, people go about their lives and they don't really want to have to deal with themselves. So they go out, go to movies, and we're, constantly trying to run around, do things so that we don't have to think about ourselves and problems and that kind of thing.
And a song like This Is Where I Am, comparing that to sort of the sort of upbeat, optimistic, fun songs that we're hearing from the new information society, This Is Where I Am is an angry, self-affirming kind of, it's a very powerful track.
This is the thing that I really loved about working with Paul, is that he has an ability, he's a great producer, he has an ability to write songs very simply. And this is what I like about working with Isaac Junkie now as well. There's a real art to writing simple lyrics. And I guess because of my influences, I tend to write just darker stuff. I don't necessarily like it all the time, but it's just kind of what's there. So I work with it, try to exploit that limitation. But
what's one of the weird things about, I always thought about synth pop music, is its ability to write about things that are sad without being boring.
Right.
Because folk music was always writing about things that were sad, but then it would
put
you to
boring.
Sleep.
Yeah. Right. That was the great thing about Depeche Mode that I always loved, that they were able to take, and it's not always negative, but it's not super positive either. And they come up with good themes and really consistent and concise stuff. So,
well, why don't we listen to that Isaac Junkie track that you brought
okay.
in?
Yeah, he did an intro for that as well.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton. Stick around.
Hi, I am Isaac Junkie from Mexico City. And this is my single, I'm Lost in You, in collaboration with Christopher Anton.
Love is not a prison.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Christopher Anton. You know, you have a vocal quality that lends itself towards synth-pop music. It's a quality that, and I'm sure this has been pointed out to you before, that is also shared by performers, you know, like in Depeche Mode, and we were talking before. Is that just how your voice came out when you started to sing, or were you listening to a lot of that kind of music when you started to sing and you kind of modified your voice to create that sound?
I'm sure it's modified, but whatever it is now, it's just there. I listened to a lot of The Cure, a lot of Depeche Mode, different electronic acts. But, I also really fell in love with Nine Inch Nails, too, when they came out. Mm-hmm. So there's sometimes, you know, I can get into a little more aggressive music. I don't mind being a little more aggressive vocally than that.
When we had you in here last year, we were talking about how, you know, there was a period in the late 80s, early 90s where synth pop and electronic music was really cool. It was like cool to listen to that music and really get into it. Yeah. And then it kind of faded away and was replaced by grunge. And now it seems like it's making a comeback because people are starting to reject the sort of redundant three chord sounds of modern rock music.
Right.
How long do you think it's going to stick around? Are you going to be a part of keeping it around?
The synth pop part
or
the grunge part?
No, the electronic part.
Hopefully it'll be a while. But you know how they say about every 20 years we go back 20. So we're kind of running into the end of, you know, 1988 was kind of the end of synth pop, right?
So do you feel like a pressure to, you know, maybe get an album out or something while people's ears are still open to electronic music?
Not really, because Trent Reznor had a good run through the 90s. There were a lot of other bands. Front 242 started doing really well early 90s. So I think there's always, it just depends what kind of songs you're writing. You know, if you're writing real simple stuff, I don't know how it's going to translate later on. It may just have to be adjusted a little bit to fit with the times.
And tell me about this Isaac Junkie track that you worked on. I mean, you didn't actually write this song. You didn't work on the music for this. You just came in and sang for it, right?
Right. No, Isaac contacted me through MySpace. He sent me an email and asked if I'd be interested in listening to some of his music and possibly singing on it. And I said, sure, send me the track. So he sent it to me with a scratch vocal and the lyrics, and I thought it was good. I liked the way it was arranged, and it's done. It's real, like, true form synth pop, And I just dig that. So,
was that strange for you working on a song and not also contributing to the music?
No, because that's what I did with InSock.
Yeah, you're pretty much used to that now.
There were a few tracks I worked on synthesizer with Paul, but a lot of it was just okay, sing this, you know, and that was great. I thought that was a good learning experience because he was, you know, Paul was a great producer. He knew what he was doing, and it was kind of. You know, at this point, I'm kind of open to anything. I'm open to working with people in different ways.
But now with your solo project, you're also doing a lot of the music yourself.
Right.
How is that experience for you? Are you learning a lot? Is it fun, or is it more work than you expected?
I think I've learned a lot in the last year. So it's kind of in some ways easier. I know how to record vocals better now than I did before from working with Information Society. But it's kind of a drag to just work completely alone also, mm-hmm. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on me. So it has its advantages, but it has its disadvantages.
And have you had an opportunity recently to go up as Christopher Anton and present some of this new music yet?
No, I haven't done that yet. That's in the works. We'll see what happens.
It's coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. Would you like to play another live tune?
Sure.
What do you got for us?
I'm going to try to play acoustic version of Back in the Day.
All right, Back in the Day, one of the new singles from, it's on Oscillator, right?
Yeah.
And it's also going to be on Synthesizer when that comes out.
Yes, this is kind of my own version of it.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton.
Walking down that same old street, I feel the same emotion, stopping where we used to meet, to share our endless hoping. The ghosts here, they don't care. This place is dead and lifeless. What was it you asked me? Somehow I can't recall. But I remember how it used to be. Before we walked away, the world was not a match for you and me. No matter what we used to say, if only we were smart enough to see that we were truly free. Back in the day, seeking what cannot be found, a fading echo of you, flashing pictures with no sound. My only image of you. The twilight has questions and whispers vague suggestions. A curtain is falling, obscuring old connections. But I remember how it used to be. Before we walked away, the world was not a match for you and me. No matter what we used to say, if only we were smart enough to see that we were truly free. Back in the day, down that same old street, I feel the same emotion. But I remember how it used to be. Before we walked away, the world was not a match for you and me. No matter what we used to say, if only we were smart enough to see truly free. Back in the day,
wow. You know, I've heard that, I've heard the studio electronic version of that song several times now, just from the Information Society MySpace page and everything, and I always thought, oh, that's kind of a neat song. It never occurred to me that the song was all so beautiful.
Now you have the folk version.
Yeah, it was really, it's actually quite a moving song.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
That's what I love about doing this show, is I get to see like the other, you know, the music stripped of all the bells and whistles,
yeah.
In this case to it, you know, in an extreme way.
Yeah, really well written song.
So, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about 101. You are the front man of this amazing Depeche Mode tribute act. Tell me how you got involved in that and what they're up to.
It's been about, let's see, three and a half years ago. The drummer for Pseudocypher, his name's John Siren. He's now in a band called Mankind is Obsolete. It's doing really well. But he had just found the ad in, I think it was LA Weekly, that this Depeche Mode tribute band was looking for a singer. So he just said, dude, you should do it. You could totally do it. You should just go see what they're doing. And so I did. I contacted them and had an audition with them. And it just went really well. And it wasn't really something that I was looking for. But of course, obviously, you know, just about everybody knows I'm a huge Depeche Mode fan. So it was a lot of fun. And we did that. And I kind of took a hiatus from it for Information Society. But, you know, I just really missed doing it. And it really brings joy to a lot of people when we're out there performing this stuff. So I wanted to just have a stab at it again and see how it would go. So we're doing a gig tomorrow night at Club Rocket in Azusa. And, I don't know, should be a good time, but, there's a few Depeche Mode tribute bands around in LA. And, my approach to this has been, it's like, I feel more natural in this position with a Depeche Mode band than I do in a day job. So it's not like, you know, I'm not going out trying to be a poser, trying to act like Depeche Mode. It's just something, some music that I really feel inspired by and I want to be a part of.
And you have this great stage upon which to sing it. You know, you have the backup band and everything.
Right. It's great. So,
but do you guys play sort of as Depeche Mode or different people, characters?
No,
or
we don't,
like that?
We don't really get that into it. I mean, I'm a big geek of a Depeche Mode fan, but we
don't. It's just about the music.
It's more about the music. And I mean, there is a presentation to it, but it's not like we don't have the Martin Gore guy standing out there. Mm-hmm. It's not like I go out trying to act like Dave Gahan. We just do what we think feels natural.
And back to Pseudocypher, there is some material people can buy on iTunes, right?
CD Baby, is it on iTunes? I'm not sure if it's on iTunes. There's CDs on CD Baby and various downloading, you know, you can purchase through download sites. I don't have a list of them right now. But
are you continuing to work with Pseudocypher in addition to all these other projects, or is that something that
you've moved on from? No, Pseudocypher's pretty much over. I don't really see it ever coming back, but... The last CD we did, Fragments of Empathy, is still, you know, it's still out there. It's available on CD Baby. If you were to just do a search for Pseudocypher, you'd be able to find it. But I don't think that that's something I'll ever pursue again. We had a pretty good run. It was a lot of fun. I got to work with a couple of producers, the French Brothers out of Burbank, and they took my electronic music and they produced sort of like a pop rock album. And that's what Fragments of Empathy turned into. And it's good. I mean, but it's probably not something I'll do again.
Now, with your solo project, do you think that is this going to be more about Christopher Anton, the recording artist, or is this something you're going to tour with and do a lot of live performing?
I don't really know yet. I mean, eventually I'll start playing shows, but I don't know in what kind of capacity or... I'm not even sure what type of an album I'm going to be releasing. I know I'm going to be working with Isaac Junkie. We'll release an EP together. And I may simultaneously work on a solo project. So I don't really have a time frame, except that the Isaac Junkie EP will be first, and that'll probably be within the next few months. That'll be finished.
As a musician, is there one thing that you like more than the other in terms of performing in front of a live audience or, you know, working on putting together the perfect track?
I like both a lot. I really like performing live now, probably more than working on a track in a studio. But, you know, if we have some good material to work with, it's always great to record. But playing live is fun.
Could you share just briefly some of your experience playing live with Information Society and sort of, you know, in front of a crowd that hadn't seen that band in so very long?
It was a little overwhelming at first because, you know, obviously we had to go out there and play, and I'm not Kurt, you know. I wasn't out there trying to pretend to be Kurt, trying to look like Kurt, and I have a lot of respect for him. I think he did a phenomenal job with the band. So especially going to Brazil, Oregon was great. We got a really good reception. We went up and played a full, you know, hour set there, and that went really well. Then we went on to Brazil after that, and... we played in front of 10,000 people. And
wow.
These are people that I don't know were necessarily aware that, you know, here's the new front
that
guy.
That anything had changed, yeah.
And but the reception was fantastic.
Had you played for an audience that large before?
10,000, no. That was a first. I'd probably played for about 1,200. It was probably my largest audience before that with 101 at an 80s convention.
Which is a big audience, but in that case, you know, people know the words.
But yeah. So it was kind of similar. I at least had the experience with that I kind of knew what to expect. But you know, there was always the chance that people were going to look at me and go, "What? Who's this? You know, who's this guy up here?" But it went really well, and I was really taken back and really impressed with the Brazilian fans. They were all so warm and inviting, and you know, they were really receptive to Sonia and me. We went, you know, we did our sound check in this huge venue, and then we got in a little bus. We drove back to the hotel, and Paul Robb was telling us about how there was going to be like a meet and greet. And I was thinking, okay, yeah, there's going to be like two people there. And it was just a room full of people with in-sock shirts on and things to sign. And I was just really, I was really touched by that they knew that I was in the band. They were embracing me. They were embracing Sonia. And it was just a really nice experience. Probably the only thing negative about Brazil that was kind of funny, we were on stage, and in the middle of What's on Your Mind, I looked out in the audience, and there was some there was some kid out there flipping me off. That was the only negative thing. And it didn't really bother me. I just kind of looked out there, and I thought, okay, thank you.
Maybe that means something else in Brazil.
I don't think
Maybe
so.
It means we love you.
I don't think so. But that was the only one. I mean, other than that, everyone, I mean, the crowd was great. Everyone was, like I said, really receptive and warm. But there was that one guy that just wanted to make his way to the front of the stage and then just flip me the bird. And that was interesting.
Well, on a more positive note, it is really fascinating to kind of receive some of the warmth that's directed at a project in general that you're now involved in. Mm-hmm. You know, like in Brazil, the fans of Information Society, mm-hmm. you know, they're with all the T-shirts and everything, they're so devoted to that project that they love you for being associated with the project.
Right, right.
And then they love you even more because you do such a great job with it, but mm-hmm. they're sort of geared towards loving you. And you probably have a similar experience, maybe not to the same extent, with 101, where they love Depeche Mode so
much.
It
was definitely
kind of ready to love you.
It was kind of a precursor. And I think Paul even, you know, because I explained everything I'd done to Paul before I got in that situation. I think he took that into consideration, even, that I was able to fearlessly jump. I wouldn't say fearlessly, but I did jump into that position, and I was able to pull it off in some capacity. And I'm sure he took that into consideration. But it was a little nerve-wracking at times, you know, beforehand, thinking, well, here we go.
Well, you're still interested in making music after the experience, so yeah. It must have been yeah. must have been worth it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton. Why don't we play another track from the CD you
sure.
brought in? This is the Kane and Arvey remix of Back in the Day. Is this on Oscillator, remix?
And as far as I know, it will be on Synthesizer as well.
Okay, so Oscillator is the Information Society EP that you can download from iTunes, and Synthesizer will be available soon, which will also contain this track. Stick around, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Back in the day.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Christopher Anton. We're just listening to a track by Information Society, and while we were listening to that, we were chatting about the whole Information Society experience. It just occurred to me, I mean, it really has been a full year since I had you in here, and you guys had just finished putting together Oscillator, but it hadn't been released yet, I think.
Right. We'd finished a lot of the recording, and we were starting to put songs out on the internet, but we hadn't played any gigs yet at the time that we came in here.
So a lot's happened to you in the past year. You've done a lot of work.
A lot of things on many levels. Yeah.
So let's go back to the conversation we were having while that song was playing. We were talking about how you got involved in Information Society in the first place. It's kind of a funny story.
I don't know that anybody knows this story, but I probably about like sometime in 2002, I had decided that I wanted to cover a dance song, and I started working on What's on Your Mind, and I kind of did it to where it was, I completed it to where it was sort of like a demo quality version of What's on Your Mind. And it wasn't like I regularly listened to Information Society. I always liked them. I was a fan. But at that point, I started doing a lot of research on the band. This is before I'd ever had any conversation with Paul Robb. And just because when I was covering the song, it sparked my interest. I started doing a lot of research and finding things out about them. And I bought all of the albums and started listening to them. And about that same time was when the VH1 special came on, the Reunite the Band or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
So I made it a point to watch that. And when Kurt didn't show up for the gig, I sat there and I turned to the person that was watching with me and I said, they should call me. And it was, you know, I didn't expect it to ever really happen. But I honestly, you know, said that. I said, well, they should call me. I can do it. And it just, you know.
And then the opportunity came up.
It came up just totally out of the blue. And I think what had happened is somebody had contacted Paul about producing Pseudocypher at one point. So he knew of me through that for some reason. And just kind of, it seemed out of the blue to me. He just emailed me one day through MySpace and he said, I'm looking for Christopher Anton. And I emailed him back and I said, yeah. And I kind of thought it was a joke at the time. I thought, okay, yeah, right. Paul Robb's emailing me. Okay. And emailed him back and then I was really curious, and like maybe a day or two later, he emailed me back and asked, you know, I'm thinking about putting Information Society back together. Would you be interested? And I said, hell yeah. Wow. So I went and met with him a couple of times, and it just clicked.
That'll be funny if the same thing happens with Depeche Mode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think that could ever happen.
It's like Dave Gahan sent you an email. I'm not really interested in doing this anymore.
What do you think? Could you imagine? They couldn't call that Depeche Mode, though. It wouldn't work.
Tell me about, with your solo work, what are some things that you want to do musically that you haven't had an opportunity to do with Pseudocypher, with Information Society?
Mainly just, you know, kind of focus on songwriting. I like pop songs, but, you know, as we talked about before, I tend to write a little bit darker. So just focus mainly on songwriting, but I want it to just be completely electronic. You know, in the past when I've done any other type of band or anything else I've been involved with, even if I was writing the songs for it, there's always been some kind of element of guitars or, you know, live bass, live drums. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, I really want to do everything strictly electronic. That's kind of the path I'm on right now.
Well, on that note, would you like to play an acoustic song
for
us?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
What are you going to play for us now?
Okay. This is a song called These Days.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Don't wait, I can't stand this way. Drifting, sober, crawling away from me. Sympathy in me, hiding in my apathy. Weakening, structuring, where someone else is. These days, nothing. Silhouettes and smiles fading this way. Don't heal, don't cram, mimics loneliness while shifting, seamless, in between what's mine. Empathy dragging me, infecting everyone here. Redundancy believing me, I don't know why. These days, nothing, silhouettes and smiles fading. These days, these days, nothing, silhouettes and smiles fading. These days,
you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton. That was great. That's another. One of your new originals, right?
That's not
solos?
That's actually an older song too. Oh. That was a pseudo cipher song that I wrote.
Oh, okay.
Also, yeah.
Well, it's fantastic. We were talking before about some of the things that you want to do with your solo project. What are some of the things that you want to avoid doing with your solo project? You know, one of the advantages to having a band is that you have those other voices in there to say, you know what, this really isn't what the band sounds like. Or
right. The only thing I regret about, for example, like Fragments of Empathy, was that it got a little bit overproduced and too dense. And I want to keep it. I want to keep things really simple. I don't want to overcomplicate it. I just want to keep it simple, straight up. Maybe, you know, pop oriented lyric. Or I mean, as far as structure, pop oriented structure. And I'm really over trying to layer tracks with too much junk. I really just want to keep it simple and keep things very basic.
Is there? It seems like with a lot of electronic music that has vocals, especially these days. Well, actually, I think we're moving back towards, you know, some of the more traditional synth pop sounds. But we're going through a phase where if it had vocals, then it had to be some very cheesy, overproduced club track.
Yeah.
You know, and then you never really knew what the words were about, what the song was about. It wasn't even really a song. It was always something about, it was just a dance number or a product placement kind of thing.
Right.
Are there things that you think you can do, you know, musically as Christopher Anton to sort of, you know, distance yourself, you know, keep yourself from going into just the traditional club sound and sort of maintaining that synth pop feel?
Well, like the track, This Is Where I Am, I mean, that's kind of an example of what I want to do. And I don't think that's really traditional, you know, like octave bass and thumping kick drum. I'd like to keep it with a little more of a modern rock or alternative type of a feel to the drums and the bass line. I know how club tracks get monotonous. So, right, that's something I do want to avoid. You know, I mean, some of that is really good. It can be done really well, but you also have to keep in mind that it should be unique, you know, and it can get monotonous.
Yeah, well, and it's also, I think, a necessary, in some cases, a necessary element to have
right.
it. Is it club
right.
ready, you know? Is it radio ready? You know,
right.
is it something that we can sell, that we can stick on a product and sell a million copies of?
Right.
So I guess that's a constant challenge that any musician has, with sort of making their music truly their own, but at the same time making it accessible enough that it's, you know, that it's
right.
lucrative, because
right.
it's a lot of work, as you yeah. as you well know.
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to this track? Tell me about this track that we're about to play.
Is that A Place?
A Place, yeah.
That's another Isaac Junkie track. He sent me again, he sent me the music, scratch vocal. I did it. It's his song. He wrote it, but he produced it. I lended the vocal to it.
Is this going to be on the new EP as well?
Yes. Yeah, it will be.
All right, let's have a listen. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org with my guest, Christopher Anton. Stick around. We're back on Is Good on KillRadio.org. We're talking about our old favorite bands and how they keep making music. But, you know, it's interesting. Well, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just thinking about Morrissey as well.
Yeah, Morrissey has new music.
Fan, but
Depeche Mode keeps releasing albums. Yeah. And I don't know. For me, it's like, you know, the quality is always good. I mean, I never hear these guys who are still making music, you know, release something that's just, you know, crap.
Right.
But it's almost like maybe because they're older or maybe I've changed or times have changed, but it seems like you want them to make music that they were making
like
20 years ago. And they're probably tired of making that music and playing that music. Right. So that's why you're not making it as much.
I didn't like Exciter all that much with Depeche Mode. I wasn't really impressed with that at all. I listened to it. Yeah, like you're saying, it was fine. You know, it served its purpose, but I really like Playing the Angel. I think they kind of got back to basics with that. But I was always bummed out when Alan Wilder left that group. I didn't really think they really haven't done the same thing since.
Yeah, because what his work really
was production.
Had its, you know, it's definitely in there. Yeah, it's funny because I was concerned with this about Information Society when I heard that they were, you know, reforming and reuniting and releasing new music, and I hadn't heard any of the new music yet, and so much time had passed, and all I was thinking was, man, I hope this doesn't suck, because you know, because I had invested so much of myself in listening to their music for so long that if they were to come out and make some, like, you know, really cheesy, you know, bad thing, it would.
Right.
My fear is that it would affect the way I related to the old music.
Right.
You know, like if you go see a band and they're your favorite band, you finally see them live and you know, they do a horrible performance or they do something that just makes them look like horrible people.
Right.
It affects the way you listen to the music from that point forward.
Yeah. Well, I think Paul did a good job of, you know, reassembling this band, but...
On behalf of Information Society fans, let me also thank you for making the
the
project so,
anything I
so
can
positive.
Honestly, I think Paul has a strategy with this. He's holding back a few songs that I think were the key tracks that I really don't think anybody's heard. There's a title track called Synthesizer that I think is really good. That I'm trying to think of what else. Another one called Somnambulistic. I don't know if anyone's heard that one. That's a really good track. He just put a track called Free up there that was also
I just heard that, I think,
a good one. So I think it's his strategy, you know.
And do you have any tidbits of information on the future of Information Society and your involvement with it?
All I know at this point is that, you know, Oscillator's out there. It's available. Synthesizer's supposedly in the bag. It should be released at some point. I know it's going to be on a label in Brazil. I don't know anything about a U.S. release. That's all I can say right now.
Yeah. And in terms of your solo project, you're right now the plan is to just work on producing as much as you can, make as many... good tracks as you can, put together an album of some sort.
Right.
After you finish with the EP with Isaac Junkie.
I think the thing with Isaac Junkie is going to be some of my own material too. So it will be, you know, my material in writing, his production, and his material in production, you know, combination. So, and that'll probably happen pretty quickly. That's not going to be, it's not going to take too long to have that finished. But as far as my solo thing, I don't have any time frame on it right now.
What's the best way for people to sort of keep up with what you're doing? Just MySpace?
Just on myspace.com/Christopher Anton, or you can check out Isaac Junkie at myspace.com/IsaacJunkieAnalog.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Can you throw us one more song?
It
would be great.
I'm going to attempt Enjoy the Silence.
Fantastic. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Christopher Anton.
Like violence, break the silence, come crashing in into my little world. Painful to me, pierce right through me. Can't you understand? Oh, my little girl, all I ever wanted, all I ever needed is here. In my arms, words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm. Vows are spoken to be broken. Feelings are intense, words are trivial. Pleasures remain, so does the pain. Words are meaningless and forgettable. All I ever wanted, all I ever needed is here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm. All I ever wanted, all I ever needed is here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Christopher Anton. Check out myspace.com/Christopher Anton for more information on his music. And also don't forget, tomorrow night at Club Rocket in Azusa, California, you can check out... It's 101, right?
Is 101.
You're playing. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, my guest will be Eject. We'll be doing a follow-up, also a band that I had on this show about a year ago. And we'll leave with one more track that Christopher brought in for us. This is the Isaac Junkie remix of This Is Where I Am. And this is where you are. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. And